Our topic for this portion of Focal Point is the media and Governor Cuomo. We're going to talk with Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a best-selling author. He's also a syndicated columnist, and he's a professor of history and political science at Grove City College. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point. Dr. Paul Kanger, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's always good to be with you, Jerry. Thanks.
Sure. Now, you wrote a very clever article, and we'll link to it. It's called Andrew Cuomo's Media Mafia. And the very first line of your article is actually a line from the old Godfather movie where it says, "We have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we?" That's one of the many memorable scenes from the Godfather 1972. But here's the question. When it comes to the Cuomo brothers, they chafe at the, any kind of comparison to the Godfather, and that's sort of an anti-Italian stereotype. You heard the famous story, I'm sure. I think you referenced it in the article even, about some bicyclist that confronted Cuomo's brother, the guy on CNN, Chris Cuomo.
Chris.
And, oh, is he livid about that. And he likened it to using the N-word to call him Fredo because it was a, Italian stereotype. So you go ahead and wax eloquent on your whole thesis here, but really the overall theme is Governor Cuomo and the media and how they make a pass for him, frankly, while, dumping on Trump every opportunity they get. Okay, I'm going to shut up and just listen to you.
Yeah, no, they really do, Jerry. And, that line, "We have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we?" Yeah, that's a scene where Michael Corleone, he's talking to Tom Hagen. I don't know how familiar you are with the Godfather trilogy.
Yeah, I forgot the guy's name. He played in the movie The Apostle.
Robert Duvall?
Yeah, Robert Duvall. Yeah.
Yeah, great actor, and
yeah.
Tom Hagen was like the adopted kid in the family.
So right.
He wasn't actually Italian like the rest, but he's the attorney for the family, and he's so they're there in a room, and it's right after Michael Corleone, who's played by Al Pacino, gets punched in the jaw by the corrupt Irish cop in the city, and so... Yeah, they're responding. They're trying to protect their father. There's an assassination attempt on the father, so they're looking for good press. And so Michael says, "Hey, we have newspaper people on the payroll, don't we?"
Mm.
And that reminded me of the Cuomos, in the sense that Andrew Cuomo doesn't even have to ask the question, "We have newspaper people on the payroll." They already have the newspaper people. It's pathetic. It's like they're not even bought off. Right, they don't need to strong arm some paisan on the New York Times editorial board. I mean, they've already got these guys in their pocket, and Chris in particular. Chris is at CNN. He's on primetime. In fact, I think his show is called CNN Primetime. And both the Cuomo brothers are such hotheads, Jerry.
Mm.
I mean, they are. Andrew, at least Chris can smile, right? Chris kind of looks good. Andrew is always snarling, scowling.
I don't think I've ever seen him smile.
You know what?
The one word I describe or think of him is humorless.
Yeah, humorless. I call him angry Andrew Cuomo. He's angry, and yet the media portrays him as charming. A friend of mine across the river in New Jersey, he told me, he said, "You ought to see the media reaction locally to this guy's press conferences." He said that they're comparing it to FDR's fireside chats.
Wow.
I said, "FDR's, why?" I mean, the last guy that you'd think of with Andrew Cuomo is FDR. FDR was, I didn't like his politics and a lot of what he did, but the guy was soothing, charming. Andrew just snarls. He scowls. He's this angry guy. But it kind of shows what it does show, how the media's reaction, the liberal media reaction, they could have a guy like Andrew, who you and I, Jerry, right? Neither one of us have met him. We have no opportunity to vote for him. We can look at that
or
guy
vote against
and say,
him.
Yeah, right. But we can look at that guy and say, "Wow, that's an angry guy," right? But the media, if you're liberal, you can look at him and say, "Ooh, edifying, soothing, charming, friendly, engaging," right? And then they could look at Donald Trump in a press conference, and you and I can watch Trump and And, you know, we're ambivalent about him on certain things, right? We can watch a Trump press conference and say, you know, wow, that guy really had a handle on facts, right?
Yeah.
You know, that guy seems to know the COVID-19 numbers up and down. Whereas a liberal journalist can watch that same press conference and say, what a liar, right? What a misleading. It's an amazing example of the kind of the selective bias,
yes,
of how the press treats these individuals. And so I call it Cuomo's media mafia. And as I say in the article, people don't know this about me, with a last name of Kengor, which is kind of Slavic Polish. I'm half Italian. My mom's 100% Italian. So I take advantage of that. I kind of reserve the right there to have fun with them and make fun of them. I actually have people in my family with names like Sonny and Michael and Freddie and Bruno and Nunzio. And in fact, Jerry, my family called me Polly when I was growing up.
Oh wow.
Not Paul, but Polly. So I had some fun in this piece for American Spectator and called it Andrew Cuomo's Media Mafia.
All right, now, all kidding aside, what about this story about the nursing homes where Mr. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, forced some nursing homes to accept COVID-19 patients, and then there were all these fatalities that occurred, which was just natural to happen, and then he pawns it off by, you know, tries to blame Trump for that, and the media, like you say, you know, so often they give him a pass.
Yeah, in fact, I saw a piece on MSNBC last week where the reporter at the end of the interview actually asked Cuomo about it, and he did what he always does. He lashed out at her, yelled at her, barked at her, right?
Wow.
And what's amazing is that if Trump did something like that, you'd read about it the next day on CNN and everywhere else, right? The vicious Trump doing this and that. But the journalist just laid down for him and let him say it, and then that was it, right? So she can now say to people, oh, I asked him about that. And I know how the media works too, Jerry. They'll say, oh, he's been asked about that. See, he's been asked about it, right? You'd ask Trump about it a million times. Right? Kind of with the liberal media, well, you ask them about it once, it's been asked, we don't ever have to ask again. But Andrew Cuomo recklessly and irresponsibly allowed for COVID-19 patients to be put in nursing homes. I mean, we'd have been better off putting them in Walmarts than putting them in nursing homes.
Mm.
I mean, that's just the exact thing that you shouldn't have done. And now he's not just lashing out at whoever asked him about that, but he'll find a way to turn it over, to turn it against Trump, just like he did with the ventilator issue, right? Remember that. That was in the first few weeks of the outbreak. And I remember watching Donald Trump in his press conference on this. He was very charitable, Jerry.
Yeah.
He said, look, you want to blame me for New York having a lack of ventilators? If I became president in 2017, he said, and for the record, Andrew Cuomo, back in whatever the year was, had an opportunity to do this and order ventilators, and he didn't. And Trump even said, he said, now look, no one could have foreseen something like this, and I'm not criticizing him for it, but I'm just saying, if you want to know who's to blame for New York not having a bunch of ventilators, it's not me, right? You know, of all things, you might want to direct that at the governor of New York. But you know, that's the kind of thing that you can get away with when the press is on your side, right? And that you get criticized for when the press is against you.
The other day, I was looking at a map of the United States, and it was based on just COVID-19 cases, not deaths, but cases. And New York State, far and away, more than any other state, by far, 350,000 plus cases. I think the next state with the highest number, the second highest number, was New Jersey, 140,000. And a lot of those, you know, they're intertwined because a lot of people live in New Jersey and they work in New York City, et cetera. Okay. And then after that, you know, Illinois was 100,000 plus. I forgot what Pennsylvania was, but I remember Massachusetts was high and so was California. I was thinking these are all the liberal states and so forth. I don't know if there's any link there, but they're all not pro-life. They're anti-God when it comes to the pro-life position. But Cuomo's got a lot on his plate in dealing with this COVID-19.
Yeah, well, they're also in Connecticut, and I could tell you as a resident of Pennsylvania, right now as we're having this conversation, we have over 70,000 cases. And so I think we're top five. And of that 70,000, 60,000 are in eastern PA in counties that border New York and New Jersey. Mm. So they're all emanating from New York. I mean, what you just said there, that's 500,000 cases that you just noted between New York and New Jersey. And I quote this in my article, Andrew Cuomo's Media Mafia, a really remarkable New York Times piece that ran a couple weeks ago. And the title is Travel from New York City, Seeded Wave of U.S. Outbreaks. And it quotes a Yale epidemiologist. It quotes somebody from the Genomics Research Institute who said that, quote, New York acted as the grand central station for this virus. Quote unquote. Another expert, Kerry Stephenson, who's with a genetics firm in Iceland, said, quote, it looks like most of the domestic spread is basically people traveling out from New York, unquote. So this really came out of New York. It didn't come out of Washington, D.C., right? So, I've seen what Cuomo does in the press conferences. He sits up there with these charts saying, it's because we're congested. It's because of the subway system, you see? This is why it's happened in New York. And frankly, there's probably a lot of truth to that. But, you know, he'll be able to easily get away with it and not be challenged on it because he's Andrew Cuomo. If Trump tried to do the same thing, he'd be challenged on it. And you mentioned abortion. One of the reasons why these liberals love Andrew Cuomo is because he is a militant abortion fanatic.
Yes.
And 1 year before all of this happened, I'm telling you, it was almost exactly 1 year. It was January 2019. That's when he passed America's most hideous abortion bill, he and his progressive friends in Albany, and legalizing abortion basically right up to the moment of birth. Mm-hmm. And remember, Jerry, it was
applauding it.
He ordered all the state monuments and buildings in New York, various state monuments and buildings, including Empire State Building, the Freedom Tower, to be lit up in pink in jubilant celebration over this new abortion bill. And, you know, all of this happened, the COVID-19 outbreak, 1 year after all of that. So for him now to be portrayed by his liberal media mafia as this, like, great apostle of life is just, it's sickening. It's sickening.
It is sickening. And he's also even anti-God in the sense of when they started to lower the flat line. And in fact, you even wrote a column about it. And somebody, you know, said, shouldn't we thank God for that? And he said, no, don't thank God. We thank ourselves. God had nothing to do with it. You know, it's like
horrible.
It is horrible.
And he was, that piece I wrote, it was called No Thanks to God, the awful angry Andrew Cuomo. That was a press conference, Jerry. That was on Easter Monday.
Oh.
It was the day after Easter Sunday.
Happy Resurrection Day. Not.
Yeah, and he wasn't even asked about it by a press reporter. He just volunteered on his own. He said the numbers are down, we flattened the curve, and God had nothing to do with it. And I saw that. I thought, why would you even say that? What kind of an angry human being would even say something like that? I'm telling you, no one even asked him about it. It's the kind of vicious, uncharitable thing that he uncorks. And by the way, that was after a lot of us, including Donald Trump. Donald Trump, 2 weeks before that, one of his White House coronavirus press conferences, said, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if maybe Easter weekend we start to flatten the curve in this. Wouldn't that be a wonderful Easter gift? And I thought, yeah, that's nice of Trump to say that. And, wow, that's exactly what happened. And here comes Cuomo, right? God had nothing to do with this. guys like us were praying. I wake up at 3 o'clock. I'm not exaggerating. I probably shouldn't say this on the air. It's maybe too personal.
There were 10 seconds.
I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying for people in New York.
Wow.
Right? And he was to tell me my prayers don't matter. How hideous is that? How angry is that?
Dr. Paul Kanger, faithandfreedom.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Paul. All the best.
Thanks, Jim.